How many of you live to please God? This is it's a trickier question than you might imagine. Do you live to please God? And I want to talk to you today about what it means to live to please God. But I want to read three passages. This is just three of them. You can find all sorts of references to living to please God, especially in the New Testament. Paul was especially concerned with living to please God. In 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 4, he says, "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain, but after we had already suffered and been mistreated at Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel amid such opposition. For our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, who examines our hearts." Galatians 1:10, "For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. For those who are according to the flesh," Romans 8 here, "those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are of the flesh cannot please God." I want you to just, for a moment, let me put you in a little makeup scenario right here. Let's say that you're on a commercial flight, and you're up in the air at however many thousands of feet, and you finally got comfortable, and you can take your seatbelt off, and you're relaxing, and all of a sudden, bursting out of the cockpit is a stewardess, and she screams, "Both the pilots are dead." Not a fun scenario, right? So now, everybody's starting to freak out. Some people are screaming, some are crying, some are standing up, and everybody's wondering, for a little bit, everybody's wondering, what are we going to do in this moment? And you realize that suddenly, you're going to have to either trust a stranger to fly the plane, or you're going to have to trust yourself. Now, when I think about this scenario, I don't know which is worse. Trusting, let's say, Gilbert to fly the plane, or Beth to fly the plane, or me to fly the plane. Can I be frankly honest with you? I don't trust any of us to fly the plane. Not a good position to be in. Do you trust some random person, or do you trust yourself? Because listen to this. Who you trust is who you end up pleasing. Did you catch that? Who you trust is who you end up pleasing, and who you please will control the outcomes of your life. Let me say that again and explain it to you. Who you trust is who you please. If you find someone you trust in that situation, you will do what they say. And because you do what they say, you're trying to please them. And because you do what they say and you're trying to please them, what they do will control the outcome of that situation. Are you with me today? So many of us today are trying to please people, we're trying to please ourselves, trying to please anybody but God. And what we do when we try to please anybody but God is that we put our trust in those people. We put our trust in mankind. We put our trust in the ways of mankind. We put our trust in ourselves. And the problem is that then we become in control of how things turn out. And once again, I don't want Gilbert in control of how things turn out for me. I don't want Beth in control of how things turn out for me. I know me enough to know that I sure don't want me in control of how things turn out for me. Who I want in control is God Almighty. Let me ask you again, are you living to please God? With your very life, who are you trying to please? There are a lot of people who are people pleasers. They like to please men. They like and enjoy. In fact, they have a need for people to be happy with them. And this is difficult for a Christian. If you're a Christian and you're a people pleaser, then you've got some work to do on yourself. Because most of the time, the world and people is going that way, and God is going this way. Amen? And if you're going to follow God, if you're going to please God, then you're going to have to do what doesn't please people. Come on. Come on. Have you noticed that if you stand up for Christ, people aren't going to like it? But some people today, they love the pats on the back. You know, if you do what the world wants, if you do what people around you want, they will give you pats on the back. They will tell you how good you are. If you do it the world's way, you will get the adoration and the clapping and the pats on the back of the world for a period of time. That's why many people try to please everyone around them, because they enjoy the pats on the back. They enjoy being told, you're doing a great job. You're doing it the way it should be done. A lot of people like to please men because there's security in the herd. Do you know what I mean by that? No one likes to be out there by themselves saying, this is the way it is, while everyone is screaming at you saying, no, it's this way. It's much more comfortable to go get in the herd of people and kind of make yourself one of them. And you feel safe and secure if you just agree with everyone around you. If you just agree with everyone at work and everyone in the world. If you just do things that don't offend, you will be in the herd. And there's security of being one among the many. Are you hearing me today? Sometimes people please men because they simply don't want the criticism or the persecution. Paul said it this way. He said, I was at Philippi and we were persecuted severely. But you know what? We had the boldness of God in us that in spite of the criticism, in spite of the challenges, in spite of the persecution, we had the boldness to preach the gospel, which is pleasing to God. It may not be pleasing to those people over there, but it is pleasing to my God. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something about pleasing the world. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but pay attention, because this is truth in the world. The world loves to lift people up. They love to exalt people. You see this a lot with famous people, athletes, or movie stars, actors, entertainers, musicians. They love to exalt certain ones for a period of time until they get tired of them being exalted, and then they start digging for something they did wrong. And when they find out something they did wrong, then they crucify them. Have you noticed that? Right now, if you're paying attention, one of the beloved actors of our time is Keanu Reeves. He just seems like such a great person, and people are talking about what a wonderful guy he is and how great he is, and I'm worried for Keanu Reeves, because I feel like it's just a matter of time before the world that loves him now is going to crucify him later. We've seen it time and time again. In fact, the only way that those people who get exalted can escape being crucified by the world is if they die. If they die before they get crucified, it seems like then everybody reveres them for all time. But if you live long enough, the world is going to tear you down. The world likes to lift people up so that they can then destroy them and tear them down. You may like being lifted up. You may like the pats on the back and the adoration of the people of the world telling you you're doing it the way you should and the way they think you should. It may please them, and you might enjoy their praise and adoration for a period of time, but trust me, at some point they're going to turn on you, because they're not lifting you on a pedestal, they're lifting you on a cross. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? They are going to crucify you, because that's what the world does when someone gets lifted up. I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit speak to you about that right there. That's what the world does. It crucifies those that it lifts up. Are we pleasing other people? Are we pleasing ourselves? This is where a lot of us live right here. If you're not living to please other people, you're probably living to please yourself. That's the way a lot of people are today. Make yourself happy. Give yourself pleasure. Some people feel like this is the ultimate meaning of life, is what is pleasing to you? What makes you happy? Chasing after happiness is what it's all about. But look what Paul says here. He says, for am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? If I am striving to please men, if I were still trying to please men, I would not serve Christ. If I was trying to please others, including myself, I am one of the men. If I'm trying to please myself, then surely I'm not pleasing God. Let me just tell you something right now. I'm going to get into this next week, because I'm going to start a sermon series about this. But let me tell you something. Your feelings are not the Holy Spirit. In fact, if you're going to live the Christian life, a lot of times what you want to do, what you feel like doing, is going to be in contradiction to what the Bible tells you to do. That's why God gave you the Holy Spirit, to have a little discipline to make yourself do what God told you to do. Can I be honest with you today? There are a lot of people missing in church today. Some are on vacation. Some are sick. Some are simply not here because they woke up and didn't feel like it. Come on. Some people don't read the Word of God because they just don't feel like it. Some people don't pray because they just don't feel like it. God never said, when you feel like it, do what the Scripture says, did He? Come on. But we live to please ourselves. We like to make it easy for ourselves. Listen, the Christian life is not the easy life. It's the productive life. It's the powerful life. It's the world-transforming life, but it's not the easy life. If you want to live the easy life, you're going to get nothing accomplished for the kingdom. Pleasing yourself is really about selfishness. It's about what I want, not what God wants. Some of us have gone so far as to not only say, I'm going to give me what I want. We say, God, I expect you to give me what I want. I expect you to do what I ask. And if you don't heal when I tell you to, come on. If you don't give me money when I tell you to, if you don't straighten out my situation when I tell you to, then you know what, God? I may just have to rethink my faith in you. Come on, I'm on your toes now, ain't I? Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is death. I want you to notice something about this scripture here. It doesn't say there's a way that man has that's pretty good, but God's way is better. No, it says there's a way that seems right to man, and it results in death. It is a direct contradiction. God is not trying to take you from better to best. He's trying to take you from death to life. He's trying to take you from dead outcomes to life. Are you hearing me today? When it comes to your salvation, if you do it man's way, it ends in death. If you do it your way, it ends in death. But if you do it God's way, it ends in life. Amen. When it comes to your marriage, if you do it man's way, you'll end up with a dead marriage. If you do it your way, you'll end up with a dead marriage. But if you do it God's way, you'll have life in your marriage. If your finances are man's way or yours way, but if they're God's way, are you hearing me today? Do you want live outcomes in your life? Do you want things in your life to produce life outcomes and not death outcomes? Then you've got to do it God's way. Come on. You can tell the maturity level of a Christian by who they're trying to please. You know what children do? They want it their way all the time. And if they don't get it their way, they're going to throw a temper tantrum. Some people have been in the church for 30, 40, 50 years, and they're still throwing temper tantrums because somebody didn't do the thing they wanted them to do. My, oh my, when are we going to grow some backbone, church? When are we going to grow some kind of backbone that says, I don't care what comes or what goes. I'm not moving. I'm going to be and do what God tells me to be. I may fall, but I'm going to get back up again. Hallelujah. And I'm not changing course until God tells me to change course. You can tell how mature a Christian is by who they're trying to please. Let me tell you something. In this day and age now, more than ever, especially here in this country, the desire to please God is going to become more and more important to a successful and powerful Christian life. Because as the world learns to hate God and God's ways more, there is going to be a great need for Christians who are willing to say, I don't care what men want. I don't care what I want. But I woke up today to please my Father. Hallelujah. I woke up today to please my God. Paul was not concerned with pleasing himself. Otherwise, he wouldn't have put himself in situations where he was whipped and beaten and abused and shipwrecked and gone through such difficulties. He wasn't concerned with pleasing others either. He would tell them the way it was. Hallelujah. His aim was to please God. Why do we please God? How do we please God? I'm going to tell you why we please God with some simple things. And this is all going to meld together, because how we please God and why we please God are so interchanged. They're like the same thing in a way. But let me do my best here. We please God because we love Him, because we care about Him, because He's our Father, because He delivered us, because we desire to have our Father be proud of us. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he did not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained this witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, when we say things like, don't you want to live to please God? We often think of things like pleasing God. Enoch must have been someone who didn't sin a lot. He must have been a really great guy. Or we think he must have been someone who just like was really outspoken in his faith of God. Or he must have had this one or two special moments where he just stepped out in faith and walked on the water or defeated a great army. Enoch must have done something to earn that title of being someone who pleases God. But the answer is not in what Enoch did, really. In verse 6, we see this. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Listen to me, child of God. Do you want to please God? Believe that he is and pursue him. That's how you please God today. Believe that he is. Now, that's deeper than you might think on the surface. Let's just talk for a moment about what it means to believe that he is. It is, of course, first of all, to believe that there is a God. But that's just the beginning. However, there's a lot of people that never really get to the beginning. They never believe that there's a God. And most of the time, they don't believe there's a God because they just don't want to believe there's a God because they don't want to submit to him. Come on, hello. Hello. But first, we must believe there's a God. We all believe there's a God, right? Amen. What does it mean to believe there's a God? Have you ever been in the presence of God? Oh, I know you have. Yes, you've been in the presence of God. And there's some amazing things that always happen in the presence of God. I get humbled and God gets exalted. You know what I'm feeling like today? Yes, hallelujah. God gets exalted and I get humbled when I get in his presence. You know, when you get cocky and arrogant and you think you're bigger than you are, get in the presence of God. It will humble you. What you'll realize when you stand before God is that God is God and you are not. Come on. What does it mean that he's God? It means that he's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's all-loving. That within God is everything that God is. Oh, he's too much for us to even explain. But when we get in his presence, we realize that he knows it all. He knows things you don't know. He sees things you don't see, which is why you ought to trust him today. Hallelujah. He can do things you can't do, which is why you ought to trust him today. Glory to his name. When you get in the presence of God and you begin to know him more and more and more, what happens is you stop trusting in others. You stop trusting in yourself and you start trusting in God. Hallelujah. Come on, I want to trust in him. And the key to trusting in him is knowing him. For to know God is to trust him. You want to trust God? Know him. Hallelujah. Know him. God knows what's right for you. I trust him because he's God. I know he's God because I know him. I've been with him. I've been through some stuff with him. I have a relationship with him. Glory to his name. And when I trust him, it pleases him. Glory to God. Amen. When I trust him, that's what God wants from you. You think God wants you to give a large portion of money. You think God wants you to talk to your neighbors about Jesus. You think God wants you to do all these things. First, at the heart, at the root of all of the things we do is this. God wants you to believe that he's God. Come on. Come on. Can I promise you that a lot of times when we don't trust God, it's because we don't really believe that he's God. Not in his fullest sense. We don't believe that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. The Bible says to believe that he is and believe that he rewards those who seek after him. What does that mean? It means if we trust God, we will please him and it will change the way we live. When it says we seek after him, there's movement involved in that. It means that there's an attempt, an effort. If God's over here, I'm going where God's going, right? If God is doing it this way, I want to do it the way God does it. This afternoon, Kathy and I were in Starbucks before church, and we were just having a little coffee before we came over here. And this man came in with his son. His son was probably 4 years old, and the man had a big old cowboy hat on. And he had the cowboy jeans and boots. and his son, who was about this tall, had his own cowboy hat on and his own jeans and boots, and he's just walking so proud by his right behind his daddy. You know, he's just so proud. I told Kathy, I remember I had boys that wanted to be like their dad when they were little. You remember that? How kids just, they wanted to be like their father, and everywhere the dad would go, the boy would go with him. And everything the dad said, the boy would say like he said. Can I tell you, seeking God means that I'm going to put my little cowboy hat on. I'm going to follow my father around. And I'm going to do everything he wants me to do. I'm going to try to talk like him and walk like him. I can't do it like he does, but I'm going to do my best to seek after him. And the more I seek him, the more I know him. And the more I know him, the more I love him. And the more I know I love him, the more I know he loves me. And the more I know all of that, the more I know that if I trust in him, he is pleased with me. Let's go talk about Enoch. It says that he was pleasing to God, right? You know, Enoch lived all the way back in Genesis, and yet they're talking about him in Hebrews. Why? It wasn't because of the exploits he did. It was because he had faith in God. You want to change the world? Have faith in God. You want God to be pleased with you? Have faith in God. Amen. Faith in God will change the way you live. You see, when you really start to know him and believe him, it will change the way you live. You will go to your neighbor and share the good news. You will give money when he tells you to. Hallelujah. You will live out what he wants you to do. You won't be earning his pleasure. It will be an outflow of his pleasure. Are you hearing me today? It says in Genesis 5 about Enoch that Enoch was pleasing to God. He lived 65 years and then became the father of Methuselah. And then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah and had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. In other words, Enoch didn't die. God just said, I'm taking you. Pooh, and just grabbed him and took him to heaven, right? One of, I think, two people in the Bible that we know about, Elijah being the other one, that had not tasted an earthly death. And so Enoch was taken. But why was it? It was because, what does it say here? Enoch walked with God. Think about that. The term with God implies that you know him. Come on. You know? Hallelujah. If I'm at a restaurant and you call me and ask who I'm with, if I'm alone, I don't say, well, I'm with these strangers here. I'm just saying I'm alone because I don't know them. But if I'm with somebody I know, then I'll tell you, I'm with Brian Wall and Brian's paying for lunch today. Hallelujah. Amen. It says he walked with God. That implies that he knows God. Not only did he walk with God, but he walked with God. Are you hearing me? Walk, once again, implies movement. He followed God. He followed God's ways and God's love and God's power. He did things God's way. Hallelujah. He followed God. I think of Jesus. You remember when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, and when he came up out of the water, there was a dove that descended upon him. That represented the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then a voice from heaven was heard. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Oh, of course God is pleased with Jesus. But do you know something? When God said this about Jesus, Jesus had not started his earthly ministry. He had not raised one person from the dead. He had not healed one person from sickness. He had not preached the gospel to a crowd of people. He hadn't done the things that you and I think we need to do to please God. So why was God pleased with him? Because he believed in his Father, and he was a follower, a seeker of his Father. Amen. And that is what pleases God today. Yes, in the times that we are living, we need Christians who do not live to please the world. Can I tell you, in the right now, it's going to be easy to please the world. If you want to please the world, it will make your life easier in the short term. It will produce easy living for a period of time. But the Bible says that way that seems right to mankind ends in death. We need Christians who do not live to please themselves, who don't wake up every day asking God, how can I be happier and what can you do for me to make my life better and easier? But people who wake up every day saying, Lord, here am I. I am a vessel that you can use for whatever you wish. If you want me to live 50 years, I'll live 50 years. If you want me to live 30 years, whatever you want. If you want me to spend my time doing this or doing that, whatever you wish, God, I live to please you. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. We need people who, in spite of persecution, in spite of temptation, people who know God so intimately that they trust him completely. And because they trust him completely, they walk with him and he is pleased with them. Can I tell you today, there are many of you that I pray that you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit from your Father saying to you, I know you're not perfect. I know you've fallen. I know you make mistakes, but you believe in me and you trust me and you do your best to walk with me. And because of that, I am well pleased with you. Hallelujah. Can you say praise God to that today? So if you're on that plane and you're in the middle of the sky and that stewardess comes flying out of the cockpit and says, both the pilots are dead and the people around you are freaking out and starting to scream, you're in big trouble if all you got are strangers to fly the plane or you. But if you're not traveling alone, what if you've got a friend with you who's a pilot? He's an expert. And for a split second, you might be freaked out. Then you realize the guy sitting next to you knows how to fly this plane. And your friend stands up and says, everybody just remain calm. I am a professional pilot, and I'm going to get you where we need to go. If you'll just do everything I tell you to do, I will get you all home safely. And everybody begins to just calm down and relax. And he makes his way to the cockpit, and he might give some instructions like for you to put your head down or put your mask on or buckle your seat belts, and we'll do those things because we want to please the one who knows what he's doing. Come on. We want to give him what he needs and what he wants because we know and we trust that he's taken us to a good place. Why do we trust him? Why do I trust my friend, the professional pilot, when I don't trust Gilbert, my friend? I don't trust me. You know why? You know I don't trust strangers. I don't trust me. And I trust my friend because I know my friend and I know what he can do. I know he's a pilot. You know why I trust God? Because I know him. He's flown my plane before. Hallelujah. He's piloted my ship before. He's driven my car before. And when I couldn't do it, and when no one else could do it, and when the ways of the world let me down, God stepped up and he drove my life and he took me to places that I never thought I could go. And when the world was taking me to death, come on somebody, when I was taking me to death, God wanted to take me to life. Hallelujah. And I trust him because I know him today. I'm going to follow him. And because of that, he is pleased with me. All of the things I do, church, all of the things you do flow out of these two things. Do you know he's God? And do you seek after him? If you do those two things, then what we say and what we do and how we act, how we spend our time and how we spend our money, those things will all work themselves out. You and I won't be perfect, but God's not pleased with us because we're perfect. He's pleased with us because we believe in him and we trust in him because we placed our lives and our faith in his son, Jesus Christ, and we're his children. Come on. I'm his child today. Would you say it with me? I am his child today. Hallelujah. I am his child today. Glory be to the name of God. Yes, the world needs you to live a life that doesn't please people. Pleases God. Some of you today, you're so worried about what everybody else thinks about you. Can I just give you some flat out advice? You just need to get over it. Get over it. Get over what your neighbors think. Get over what people think about your ministry or your life, or get over what people think about how you spend your money, what kind of car you drive. Get over it. The same people that would pat you on the back for doing what they want you to do are the same ones that would crucify you when given the chance. Come on. Come on. Some of you need to get over yourself. You're so worried about what you want. And then you wonder why you're not happy. So you go and you chase after things and situations and people that you think will make you happy. And then when you get them, you're not happy. In fact, you're more empty because they didn't fulfill. And so what do? You go chase after more things. And can I promise you today, the pursuit of happiness never leads to happiness. The pursuit of Jesus brings about peace and joy and the things that are so much better than happiness. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, a bad night's sleep can ruin the next day's happiness. How silly is that? How difficult and fragile is that when we live our lives in such a way that just a bad dinner that gives you a little tummy ache can mess up your happiness? Come on. We don't live for happiness. We live for Jesus, who gives us joy and peace and promises and hope. And we trust in him. And in spite of difficulties, in spite of persecution, in spite of criticism, because somebody's criticizing you right now. Somebody's looking at your life thinking you're doing the wrong thing. Some of them don't have enough sense to keep it to themselves, but they even come to you and tell you how you're doing the wrong thing. But the question is not, what do people think? The question is, what does God think? Is God pleased with me? Because a life that pleases God is a life that can change the world. Once again, in closing, let me tell you this. You can tell the maturity level of a Christian by who they're trying to please. Are you trying to please man? Are you trying to fit in so your Christianity doesn't offend people? Or are you trying to please God? Are you trying to please yourself? Is your life really about your happiness and getting what you want? Or are you trying to please God? Father, I thank you for these beautiful people that are here today. These are your sons and daughters. We're not perfect, God. We know that, Lord. We know that you know that. That's why you gave us Jesus, to be our perfection. And his righteousness has been applied to our life by faith. And God, because you're our Father and we love you, and because you love us first, we just want to please you. We want you to look at us and say, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. We want to hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. We want to know that the life we lived by faith in God. And that every part of our life, the things we think and feel and act and do, our very lives stem from this. We believe that he is, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Faith is how we move, God. Let us be God pleasers. Let us have tenacity and backbone to be God pleasers. Would you stand right now? I'm going to pray over you today. I feel led to pray over you today. Stand right now and receive this today. Oh, God, let us have the spiritual backbone to not be men pleasers, to not be people pleasers, to not conform ourselves to the world. Let us have the backbone to say no when the world says yes, to go left when the world says right. Hallelujah. Let us have the backbone to do what you say. Let us be the kind of people who will face the fire, who will face the lion's den, whatever it takes. But we will be people who please God and not men. And God, let us be the kind of people who put ourselves last, that we sacrifice our own selves, that we're not thinking of me and what I can get and what I want all the time, that we don't live a fleshly life that's always trying to get the next piece of happiness out of this life that we can get, but we live a deeper life. I pray that we be people that live a deeper life than what about me. But our question is, how can I please God? How can I take my life and sacrifice it in such a way that my Father is pleased with me? Father, I pray that we would live the kind of life that pleases you, and that is a life lived by faith. You know what, Father? We can do what Enoch did. We can believe that you are, and that you're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. We can walk with you because the blood of Jesus lets us walk with you. And so we can just get up and walk with you today, God. We can go your way and do it the way you want us to do it. We can trust in you. And if we trust in you, we will please you. Thank you, Jesus. Our desire is to please God. Oh, that we would have a Christian church, a church is full of people who woke up with one desire, and that is that God would be pleased with me. I thank you for that today. I pray, God, that we take this message into our daily lives and it changes how we think and how we talk, how we act, and how we live. And I proclaim it in the name of my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.